Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we are going to be talking about Jesus Christ. Is he the only mediator between God and man? Or are there many mediators? Several mediators, a few more mediators, or is Jesus the only mediator? This is a hot topic, and it's also a very, very important one. Again, what does Scripture say about this? 1 Timothy chapter 2, Scripture is very clear. There is one God, one true living God, and one mediator between God and men. Who is that one mediator according to Holy Scriptures here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6? There is one mediator also between God and men. Who is that? The man, Christ Jesus. The man, referring to his humanity. Christ, referring to his deity. He is the Messiah, the Anointed One. Jesus, referring to salvation. Yeshua means salvation, save, savior. So we see here, Scripture declares very clearly, unambiguously, there's only one true living God, right? And there's only one true mediator between God and men. Who is that? Is it Mary? Nope. Is it a super class of dead believers in heaven who are called saints? Nope. Is it a church? No. Is it a priest? No. Is it a pope? No. Is it a pastor? No. Scripture is clear. There is only one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Why him and him alone? Verse 6. Because he gave himself as a ransom for all the elect. And so, again, did Mary give herself as a ransom for the elect? No, she wasn't on the cross. Yes, she was at the foot of the cross, John 19 tells us, but it was Jesus on the cross. What about, you know, those who say that Peter or Paul, St. Peter, St. Paul, St. John are mediators? No, were they on the cross? No. Who was the only one on the cross giving his life as a ransom for ours? Jesus Christ. Again, think about this. We as humans need a mediator between us and a holy God, right? Because we are sinful humans. God is holy, we are unholy. God is righteous, we are unrighteous. God is perfect, we are sinners. Well, the big question is this. How can we, unholy, unrighteous, sinful people, how can we be accepted by a holy, righteous, and perfect God who is also just and who says the wages of one sin is eternal damnation? We need a mediator. Well, throughout church history, people have come up with all kinds of mediators that either replace Jesus or come alongside of Jesus. And that is completely unbiblical. I hear people all the time say to me, I'm praying to my favorite patron saint, or I have this little trinket of my patron saint that I keep in my car, in front of my computer, or wherever. And I'll ask the question, why? Well, because my patron saint hears my prayers and takes my prayers to Jesus. Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Again, Scripture here clearly defines why Jesus is the only mediator, because only Jesus gave himself as a ransom for us. Again, let's go back to the big question that every human and every religion has to answer. How can we, sinful, unrighteous, unholy people, be accepted by a perfect, righteous, holy God? God cannot ignore our sins. He must punish our sins because he is a just judge. If God were to ignore one of our sins, if God were to sweep them under the carpet, he would cease to be God because he would not be just according to his holiness, right? And again, it's interesting. People love to talk about the love of God, and absolutely God is loving. It's one of his attributes, but they hate talking about his justice. It's like, can't we just have the love part of God and not the justice? Can't we just have the compassionate part of God and not the wrathful part of God? No. God reveals himself to us in the pages of Holy Scripture. God reveals to us who he is and how he is. And if you decide to pick and choose which attributes of God you like and which ones you want to toss out, guess what? You've created your own God. That's called idolatry. That's blasphemy. And by the way, just think about what happened with the Israelites there at Mount Sinai when Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments and they were at the bottom of the hill of the mountain and they made a golden calf. How'd that turn out for them? Okay? You don't play around with the holiness, the attributes, the intrinsic glory of God. And so, God did for us that which we could never do for ourselves. He demonstrated his love for us, though we are wretched sinners, without compromising his justice. He has to punish sin. If he punishes us, we go to hell. And that's what we deserve, because we're lawbreakers. We're criminals in God's eyes, right? We have committed more sins than we can even count. In our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Sins of commission, sins of omission. We have no chance apart from God's grace. And so, what did God do? For those whom God elected before the foundation of time, God the Son, 2,000 years ago, came to this earth to redeem them, to save them, to pay for their sins, to give his life as a ransom. Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, meaning Jesus was born without a sin nature, because we need a perfect, sinless sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus, truly God, truly man, perfectly fulfilled all righteousness, the law, for us in our place, and then he allowed himself to be hung on a cross. Think about the brutality of crucifixion. In fact, it was so brutal that no Roman citizen was allowed to be crucified because it was such a brutal, most horrific form of execution, which the Romans had mastered. And they knew it was so brutal and so horrific that they outlawed any of their citizens from ever being allowed to be crucified. And look at our Lord. Why was he crucified? Just read the Old Testament. Because God had prophesied through the prophets way back in the Old Testament that our Lord's hands would be pierced, that he would be hung, giving his life as a ransom for many. And it was there that as Jesus was on the cross, our sins were placed on him. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And then the wrath of God, the just wrath of God toward sin, rather than being poured out on us, the sinners, God's wrath was poured out on his beloved Son in our place. Jesus died, but 3 days later, he rose in victory. What does that mean? Where there's sin, there must be death. Where there's no sin, there's no death. By rising from the dead, Jesus demonstrated conclusively that he had paid for your sins, Christian, in full, in terms of that day of judgment. And it is through Christ and Christ alone that you have forgiveness of sins. It is through Christ and Christ alone that you have the free gift of eternal life. And it is through Christ and Christ alone that you can come to the Father. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. And again, 1 Timothy 2:5-6, there's one God, there's one mediator between man and between God and men. Who is that? The man Christ Jesus. Why? Because he gave himself as a ransom for us. And God the Holy Spirit regenerates, makes alive in the spiritual realm those who had been chosen before the foundation of time, those who had been redeemed by Christ at the cross 2,000 years ago. God the Holy Spirit regenerates the elect, the redeemed, gives them the gift of faith to be able to repent of their sins and to place their faith and trust in Christ alone. And God the Holy Spirit seals a believer for that day of glorification. He is a down payment, a guarantee for our future inheritance. And so we see that salvation is all of God's grace, and that's why God deserves all the glory, right? Why is Christ the only mediator? The only mediator for sinful humans to be able to come to a holy God. Why is Christ the only mediator? Well, number one, because of who he is. Number two, because of what God says about him. And number three, because of what Christ did. Nowhere in Scripture does God declare that Peter or Paul or Mary or Abraham or Isaac or Jacob, nowhere does God declare that they're mediators also. Only Christ. And so this is what God says because of who Christ is and because of what Christ has done. And that's why Jesus could boldly declare a statement that a lot of people argue with and say, that's too narrow-minded, where Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. Well, wait a second. Why is that so offensive to people? I mean, if it's true, we should be able to go, thank you, you're the way. I don't want to go the wrong way. You're the way? That's truth to eternal life? Perfect. But people say, no. Too narrow-minded. Okay, then try another way. Through Mary? How's that going to work? It won't. Why? What do you think saved, redeemed people are doing in heaven right now? Go to Revelation chapter 4. We see that in verse 4, John, the Apostle John received a vision, an amazing vision of heaven. He was in the Spirit, and one of the things he saw, as he saw God's throne, symbolic of obviously God's power, authority, sovereignty, John saw, verse 4, around the throne were 24 thrones. And upon the thrones, he said, I saw 24 elders sitting. Now, there are various different interpretations as to who these 24 elders could possibly be. Obviously, these 24 elders are symbolic of saved, redeemed people. How do we know that? Because they were clothed in white garments, symbolic of the righteousness of Christ imputed to them, and they had golden crowns on their heads. Two Greek words used in the book of Revelation for crowns. One, diadem, which refers to a king's crown. The other Greek word is stephanos, which refers to the victor's wreath that an athlete would receive in the Olympic Games. And so here, these 24 elders, and I'm not going to get into a teaching now as to the various different views of who they might be. That's for another time. But we know that these 24 elders are sitting clothed in white garments, the redeemed, and they had golden crowns, stephanos, victory wreaths. Christian, you have victory in and through Jesus Christ. So these are obviously redeemed people in heaven. And what do you think they're doing? We see, verse 10, the 24 elders fall down before God, who sits on the throne, and they worship him, God who lives forever and ever, and they cast their crowns, their victory wreaths, before the throne, saying, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. They are praising God, the Creator God. This is what the redeemed are doing in heaven, praising God the Father, the God of creation. But chapter 5, they're also praising God the Son. We see that these 24 elders in verse 9 are singing a new song to Christ, the Lamb, who had been slain. And what is the song the redeemed in heaven are singing to Christ? Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. So we see the redeemed in heaven. It's a praise party. Worshiping God. Worshiping Christ the Redeemer. And you also see, and you can read it on your own, God the Holy Spirit there. So we see the three members of the Trinity. We see God's redeemed, those who had been elected before the foundation of time, those who had been redeemed by Christ at the cross, those who had been regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. We see the redeemed busy about the business of heaven. What is that business? Worshiping God, not saying, oh, time out, God. So-and-so down on earth is sending up a prayer to me, which I then, God, as one of the mediators, will then bring to you. What? Yeah, sounds foolish, doesn't it? Absolutely, it's foolish. But think about this. Those people who claim that Mary, who is in heaven, is a co-mediator with Christ. That's why you see people praying to Mary all the time. Here's kind of the thinking, the logic behind it. God is busy running the universe. Jesus is also very busy. And so, if you want your prayers to go to Jesus and then to God, the Father, first call upon Mary. Go to Mary in your prayers. She'll then take your prayer request to Jesus. And Jesus is a good son. How could he ever ignore his mother? And then Jesus takes those prayer requests and takes them to God the Father. That's the thinking. And so, the Catholic Church, for instance, is big into prayers to Mary, as though she is a co-mediator with Christ. In fact, some teachings have even given her credit as being a co-redemptress with Christ. Now, think of this. Again, Mary, obviously in heaven, saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. Mary, who understood she was a sinner in need of a Savior. Mary, who never claimed to be divine, never claimed to be a co-mediator or co-redemptress. She was a sinner saved, like all sinners are saved, through the grace of God. Now, what do you think Mary's doing in heaven right now? We don't have to speculate. We just see Revelation 4 and 5. She's doing with that which all the redeemed are doing. Worshiping and praising God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can you imagine? Somebody starts praying to Mary, and Mary says, oh, sorry, I've got to leave this worship time, and I've got to go help. What? Seriously? Our prayers have the power to distract Mary, Peter, Paul from worshiping God? It is ludicrous. It is unbiblical. Because again, as we saw in 1 Timothy, there's only one God and only one mediator between God and men. Who is that? The man Christ Jesus. Why him? Because he and he alone gave himself as a ransom for his people. So, no one comes to the Father in terms of salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life, except through Christ. No prayers get to heaven. No prayers pass the ceiling of the room you're in. Unless those prayers are to God. In the power of the Spirit, through Christ. You can pray to Mary, Peter, Paul. You can pray to every patron, whatever. What do you think they would want to do? Take a time out from worshiping God? Or to continue to cast their crowns before God? And by the way, this isn't just my opinion. Revelation 21. We see a picture of heaven. And we see in verse 3 that the tabernacle of God is among men. God is present with his people. Because again, we're not talking about the glorified state. No sin, no suffering, no death, no sorrow. How do we know that? We read, God will dwell with his people. He'll be among them. Verse 4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no longer any death or mourning or crying or pain. Why? The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne says, behold, I'm making all things new, and these words are faithful and true. Heaven, no sin, no death, no suffering, no crying, no sorrow, no pain. Isn't that awesome? Now imagine this. Imagine your loved one, or some sort of a Mary, so forth. Imagine this. Let's say you had the ability to distract them from worshiping God, which again is just heresy to think about, okay? But imagine you could do that. And imagine Mary looks down and she sees you suffering. Or imagine your loved one, father, mother, who's home in heaven right now worshiping God, actually can see you and hear your prayers. And your cries and see your tears? What do you think your loved ones are going to do when they see you in pain and suffering here on earth? They're going to cry. They're going to mourn. They're going to be in pain. That's only natural because they love you. But look what Scripture says. In heaven, there is no pain. There is no suffering. There is no sorrow. There's no sin. There's no death. Which tells you what? Your loved ones, as well as all the redeemed, what do you think they're doing? They're worshiping God. They're worshiping the Son, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And it's okay. You don't want them to be able to hear your prayers. You don't want them to be able to look down on you here on earth because you don't want them to mourn, to worry. Therefore, Scripture says, they don't. Because none of that is in heaven. Yeah, but I need my prayers answered and I go to Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying the will of the Father. Because there's only one mediator. For salvation. One mediator for your prayers. You don't need Mary. You don't need Peter. You don't need Paul. Leave them alone. You don't need your loved ones. Leave them alone. Let them enjoy the victory they have in Christ, right? And by the way, as I conclude, let me conclude with Mary's own words in Luke chapter 1, just to make sure we all understand that Mary understood that she's not a co-mediator or co-redemptress. Verse 46, Mary said, Luke 1, verse 46, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Do you see that? Mary can't be a co-redemptor. She can't be a co-savior. She needed a savior. Which means Mary understood she was a what? Sinner. She says, for he, God, has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. She calls herself a bondslave of God. Christians, the Bible says that all Christians are bondslaves of God. For behold, she said, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. Of course, she had the unspeakable privilege and honor of carrying the Savior in her womb. And look what she says, for the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name, not mine. She didn't say, holy is our name. No, holy is his name. Jesus Christ, the only mediator? Absolutely. Scripture declares it. Because of who Christ is and what he has done. Heaven, the focus is not on our prayers. The focus is on the triune God worshiping him. There is only one mediator for salvation and for your needs and prayers. It's Jesus Christ. Go to him and him alone. And again, remember the words of Mary herself. She understood she was a sinner who needed a Savior. And by God's grace, she had been saved. Mary now is worshiping her Savior. She is worshiping the triune God. Leave her alone. Let her enjoy. Christian, that's what we're going to be doing throughout all eternity as well. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.